want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy New Year's Eve to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. It's my pleasure to spend the next half hour with you right here on 91.5 WMIE, Today's Modern Worship. We do want to pray that you have a safe New Year's Eve. Be careful out there. I always tell my kids, you know, try and make sure that you are home before crazy people do crazy things. Whether that's them living with me or, you know, my son's family has got a house of their own. But still, there's a lot of people out there that do bad stuff. And the further you go into the night, the more bad stuff happens. And so do be safe out there. We are looking forward to a new year. And today I just want to talk to you a little bit about reflecting on this new year or on the past year and preparing yourself for victory in this coming year. And so I want to take you in the scriptures today to Daniel chapter 4. If you want to be turning there or making a note of that, that's where we are going to be here today. This is a good practice for everybody. It's a good practice, not just on, you know, at the end of the year, but any time as well, to make sure that you are set up for spiritual victory in the coming year. We do want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. We thank them for their support through the years, and they have a reputation in the community that goes back decades of doing work, doing block and concrete work professionally with skill, with efficiency, at a good value. And I pray if you are looking at this new year and contemplating doing a building project, give them some consideration. Give them a call. Have them come out, give you an estimate. You can compare their quote with other quotes if you'd like. But I like dealing with people who are going to deal with honesty and integrity. So 321-536-5804, that will get you Greg on the phone. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program. It's always nice for those who are part of our radio support team here to hear that there are actually people out there who are listening. A person at church told me here, you know, that not too awful long ago that they heard us talking about them. And so when they needed a project done, that was who they called. And I pray that they will be a blessing to you the way that they have been a blessing to us and will continue to be a blessing to us through the years. You know, I'm the type of guy that I would rather deal with a person that I have a relationship with than somebody that's going to come and give me a low ball price. I really do. I like dealing with people that I know. And what I have found is that if I don't have a relationship with people, they find it easier to take advantage of me. And I'm not a big fan of being taken advantage of. So give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. And let them come out, take a look at your project, give you an estimate, and see where it goes from there. A lot of times we look at things and say, hey, is there anything that I need to repent of? And I'm of the persuasion that repentance is not a bad word. There are some people who, in this age of spiritual correctness, they don't like to use the word sinner. Let me tell you something. That we are all sinners. Some of us have been saved by grace, and some of us God wants to be saved by grace. But I've never met a perfect person. You know, a lot of times if you go to a funeral, you will find that people are presented, you know, quite perfectly many times. And the reality is the people who know me know that I'm not perfect. And the people who know you know that you're not perfect. We were doing a work day project back in 2018. And there were some guys and I made a mess is what I did. I knew what I was doing, but I hit the button on the drill motor and just stuff went flying. And I said, well, that was brilliant. And I called myself by Robert. Well, Robert, that was brilliant, you know, because that's what my mother did when I was in troubles. Called me Robert. And I said, guys, there you have it. For those of you who thought that that I was brilliant, now you have proof to the other proof that that's not the case. And one of my friends that was there said, you know, I've never heard anybody call you brilliant. And another guy said, you know, I was thinking that, but I'm glad you're the one that said it and not me. You know, we're not perfect. And so it does help us from time to time to respond to the Holy Spirit's invitation to repent and have him set us up for restoration. And that's what we're going to look at in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 is actually written by Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon. He was the most powerful person on the earth. In his day, he was referred to as the King of Kings. Now, we know that there is a king above all kings, and his name is not Nebuchadnezzar, it is Jesus. But Nebuchadnezzar was tremendously successful, and he was reflecting on his success, and I want to take you to Daniel chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading. Let's see, where do I want to begin reading today? Let's begin reading at verse number 23. And Daniel says, and inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you, after you come to know that heaven rules. Pay attention to that right there. Verse number 26. Your kingdom shall be assured to you after you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Do you hear what Nebuchadnezzar is saying? Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? I built it. I built it for me. I did it by my mighty power, and I did it for my majesty. That's what he said. That anytime you are fixated upon yourself and you are focusing on your accomplishments, that's called pride. That's called pride. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. We need to submit to God. We need to realize that apart from God, we can do nothing, but through Christ, we can do all things. That's the spiritual truth there. And so Nebuchadnezzar's filled with pride, even after he had been warned. He had been warned in a dream several months earlier, a year in advance, he had been warned. Daniel had admonished him how to avoid this prophetic dream that he had had, and instead he was still fixated on himself instead of God. While the word, this is verse number 31, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, and all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. So Nebuchadnezzar was admonished in advance, you've got to deal with the pride issue. You've got to repent of the pride issue. Pride may not be our issue. It might be something else. There are 10 commandments. You know, there's the fact that we're supposed to honor God. We're supposed to observe the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath. We are supposed to have no graven images. We're supposed to not covet, not steal. We're not supposed to murder. We're not supposed to bear false witness. And we're supposed to honor our father and mother. You know, there's 10 of those things. And somewhere, you know, there's an evangelist by the name of Ray Comfort. And he has a very upfront manner of dealing with people who think that all it takes to go to heaven is being a good person. And he does so with the 10 commandments. So I just want to ask you, as we've come to the end of this year and we're on the precipice of a brand new year where God wants to lead us in triumphal procession. He wants to lead you in victory. He wants to lead you in peace. He wants to for your new year to be blessed. Are there any things that are setting that are rooted in your life that are setting you up for failure, for a setback, for humiliation? Are there anything in your life and you say, you know what? I am tired of that thing having a negative impact on my life. You see, there's a couple of ways that we can go about repentance. You know, for the Jewish people in Ezra's time, they were in some ungodly relationships, and they needed to repent of those ungodly relationships. They didn't realize the severity. They didn't really think that God cared about that. You know, there are many people that only think about, well, God only cares about what takes place on Monday. He only cares about what comes out of my mouth when I'm in that spiritual setting. He doesn't really care about what goes on in the external setting. He doesn't care about what I set before my eyes. None of that is true. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And so when he gives us a word, and I pray that this word will find its way to you in the same way, when he deals compassionately with us and gives us godly warning to purge ungodly behavior, purge sin from our life, to embrace his will. In Ezra chapter 10, repentance was not only to say, I'm sorry I did this, but it was also the embracing of doing the will of God from that point forward. See, many people just want to come and say, I'm sorry I did that. Would you please forgive me? And the mindset is, I'm really sorry that I got caught. The truth of the matter is, unrepented sin is going to rob us, much like it robbed Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was robbed of his thought processes. He lost his shelter. He lost his position. He lost his influence. The quality of his life deteriorated to that of an animal. His appearance was radically changed. There was a complete and total breakdown in his life. It was an occupational breakdown. It was a financial breakdown. It was a relational breakdown. It was a spiritual breakdown. It was a mental breakdown. It was a health breakdown. His entire world fell apart, and his sin was pride. You and I might not think that pride is that offensive to God, but it is. Today, if you are fixated on your desires more than God's desires, your will more than God's will, your plans over his plans, your delights over his delights, then we have a pride issue. And you need to realize that pride is life-threatening. It was very prominent in Lucifer and led to his exile from heaven. He was literally kicked out of heaven because he was not content with where God had placed him. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to sit where God sat. That means that God was going to have to be dethroned. He thought that he was in a better position than God. And there are a lot of people who go about complaining and moaning and grumbling. And my take on complaining and grumbling when you're a child of God is that you are shaking your fist at God and saying, I could do a better job leading my life than you can. It's not true, but that is the accusation. You can look in the book of Revelation when the wrath of God is being poured out, and instead of repenting, people are shaking their fist at God and they're cursing him instead of crying out to him for mercy. So I would like to encourage you here on December the 31st to do a little bit of self-evaluation and see, you know, present yourself to God and say, God, is there any unclean thing in me? Is there anything that you are displeased with? Anything that you want removed, I want to remove it. Now, there is a great message in this story with Nebuchadnezzar, and that is this: the instruction to the angelic being was for there to be a band of iron and bronze to be erected around Nebuchadnezzar. It was to signify divine protection, because even though he had been greatly humbled and reduced from his massive influence to just a stump, he said, I want you to protect that stump, because I'm going to cause him to grow again. He is the God of the comeback. Maybe this past year was not your greatest year spiritually. I want you to look to God, because he's the God of the great comeback. He's the God of the second chance. For those who repent, he's the God of the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance. But he wants you to embrace his will. That's what Nebuchadnezzar says in verse number 35. Now, before I get there, I want you to know Nebuchadnezzar did not pray a massively fluent prayer. It wasn't an articulate prayer. All that Nebuchadnezzar did was, when he had reached the end of his rope, he just lifted his eyes to heaven. But this time it wasn't in arrogance. This time it was in great dependence. And God restored his train of thought. He said, my understanding returned to me. I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him who lives forever. This is a completely different Nebuchadnezzar. There should be proof of repentance. The proof is not a piece of paper. The proof is a changed life. It is changed behavior. And so Nebuchadnezzar, from that point forward, was fixated on God. It said, his dominion is an everlasting dominion. Mine was stripped from me. His still goes on. His kingdom goes from generation to generation. The inhabitants of earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain him. What would this coming year look like if our mindset to God was, God, have your way. Let your will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. God, let it be done unhindered and without restraint. When I was a kid, I got a mini bike. And we had a very, very tiny front yard. I mean, it was small. And there was a tree in the front yard, and my grandparents came down. I was going to show them how I could ride the mini bike. And I got on there. I put that thing on full throttle, and I froze. I managed to whip it around the tree. I was headed right for the family car and zipped it. I managed to turn it again right in between the gas light in the front yard and the car, and then I headed straight across the street. Thank the Lord there was nobody coming. But that thing was operating without restraint. It was full throttle. And then I was terrified. I froze on the wheel. I ran right into the curb, flipped up, and the mini bike landed right on top of me. I don't know about you, but I think I wasn't able to handle that mini bike without restraint at that point in time in my life. But I can tell you now that what this world needs a bunch of Christians who said, God, I repent of the world you in the past. And I want to embrace your will in my life. And I want your will in my health. I want your will in my job. I want your will in my finances. I want your will in my marriage. I want your will in every area, and I want it to be functioning without restraint. Nothing hindering it. What happens when we come to that place, when we say, God, operate with all the liberty that is at your disposal? Verse number 36, Daniel chapter 4. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. Nebuchadnezzar said, when I got my relationship with God right, all of a sudden, all of the things I lost began to be restored to me. The devil will try and convince many that they're in a hopeless situation, but the Bible is filled with examples that God is able to restore to a repentant and a broken people things thought impossible. Nebuchadnezzar said, everything that I had came back to me except for one thing, my pride. He said, from that point forward, right now, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. You know, the truth of the matter is, God will bless us better than we can bless ourselves. If we were to realize that our pride is actually a tool of the enemy to try and destroy us, instead of everybody thinking we're all that wonderful, if we would realize that humility, what does it say? God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When we repent and get life right the way that God, whether it's deliverance from drugs or alcohol or any of the other things that might have derailed you this past year, when we repent and get that right, I'm here to tell you, you are set up for a wonderful, wonderful life of victory. God bless you. Happy New Year's Eve. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh
Radio
Broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool.